Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Lee Harris, and here are today's top local stories. There was a vigil last night for the victims of that horrible fire in the Bronx that took 17 lives. All of the dead have been identified now. And the first lawsuit has been filed, as Glenn Shuck reports from the Bronx this morning. Glenn?
Those who died here ranging in age from 2 to 50. And about 100 people gathered in the frigid weather last night in front of the apartment complex here on East 181st Street. They're still in disbelief. Resident Maria Gomez.
I have kids of my own. The whole family. The family who just lost their life. It's heartbreaking.
The borough president, Vanessa Gibson, was also on hand.
We are joined here to first and foremost pray for those souls that we have lost. 17 neighbors.
Now, a couple who live in the building have filed the first lawsuit seeking $1 billion in damages. They claim the building owners knew for years about dangerous conditions here. And sources are telling us that multiple space heaters were running for days, apparently, in this lower floor apartment where the fire began. Glenn Shuck, 1010 Winds in the Bronx.
Cash donations to help the victims are now approaching $1 million, and some people are donating in other ways.
Donors drove to Bronx Community College in cars filled with garbage bags containing goods. Nuala is one of those who came here to help.
I donated a lot of kitchen supplies, mostly clothes, blankets, children's clothing.
The people donating these items moved by the tragedy of the fire. Some, like Tijane, know what it's like to need help. She depended on food donations during the height of the pandemic.
The fact that I was already in that situation, I know that feeling. There's nobody to turn to. You really don't have nothing. So if the community can actually come together the way they is, that's lovely.
Police will take the items to a warehouse at JFK where they will be separated, and fire victims will be taken there to collect what they need. Roger Stern, 1010 Winds at Bronx Community College.
There was another vigil yesterday in East Harlem outside the Burger King, where 19-year-old cashier Crystal Byron Nieves was shot to death during a holdup over the weekend. Her cousin, Kiara Fuentes, was there.
Crystal didn't deserve this. She did not wake up thinking she wasn't going to make it back home. This is hurting our family so much, and we just want justice for her already.
Also attending the vigil, Mayor Adams.
The person who did this must be caught. And those who carry guns in my city, we're going to find you. You have an opportunity to go and get the services and be a part of these organizations and group and get your life together.
Cops are still hunting for the killer, who got away with about $100. There's a lot of Omicron going around on both sides of the Hudson, but the governors of New York and New Jersey are assessing the situation in their states somewhat differently, as Samantha Liebman reports this morning. Sam?
Good morning, Lee. New York Governor Kathy Hochul with some good news Tuesday.
Cases are slowing down. The rate of increase is slowing down, but they're still high. They're still high, but we are not at the end. But I want to say that this is, to me, a glimmer of hope in a time when we desperately need that.
Daily cases below 50,000 for the first time since before Christmas, although hospitalizations still over 12,000 and expected to rise. The governor not yet ready to end the statewide mask mandate. In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy describing a different picture.
We are seeing new case counts that dwarf anything we'd seen to this point. Upwards of four times as many New Jerseyans have COVID today than did 1 year ago.
At an impasse with the legislature, who is letting his emergency powers expire amid these numbers, the governor reinstating them, speaking in a pre-recorded state of the state.
It does not mean any new universal mandates or passports. It does not mean lockdowns. It does not mean any business restrictions or gathering limits.
It does mean continued masking in schools and daycares and other measures, as the governor calling the onslaught of Omicron in the state a tsunami. Samantha Liebman, 1010 Winds News.
200 inmates on Rikers Island are said to be taking part in a hunger strike, protesting COVID lockdowns and generally poor conditions. But a Department of Corrections spokesperson says there really isn't a hunger strike. What's happening, he says, is that the inmates are refusing the food that's brought to them by the staff and buying food in the commissary and eating that instead. He adds the warden is engaged with them in addressing their concerns. Some New York City high school students walked out of class yesterday to protest the current in-person teaching only policy. Brooklyn Tech senior Jada Sahin was one of them.
Most of the students that I've spoken to, we all want the option to go back to remote or have a hybrid situation.
School's Chancellor David Banks tweeted this response. We understand the concerns of our school communities during the crisis. The best decisions are made when everyone has a seat at the table. I'm inviting student leaders to meet with me so we can work together for safe and open schools. No word on when this meeting might take place. Attendance in city schools is way off, averaging about 69% since reopening last week. A construction worker walking into a CVS at Broadway and West 40th Street last Friday night ran into a woman who was panhandling by the door. She asked him for money. He said no, somewhat rudely, we're told. And when he came back out, police say the woman said, "Remember me?" Then she threw some liquid on him, possibly bleach. And then a man who was with the woman got into a fight with the construction worker and stabbed him twice in the back before robbing him of $340 and a Samsung tablet. The victim's in stable condition. We have video and photos of the panhandler and her knife-wielding friend up at 1010winds.com. More than 57,000 people have signed a Change.org petition demanding that neck guards be made mandatory for people playing ice hockey in the U.S. This less than a week after 16-year-old Teddy Balkin died during a game in Greenwich, Connecticut. He fell on the ice, and then his neck was cut by another player's skate. Sam Brand was Teddy's friend.
I'm not saying a neck guard would have saved his life. It feels like it could have been an avoidable accident. And it was a total freak accident to no one's fault. And it just feels like we didn't have to experience it if there was already a rule in place.
He talked to ABC 7. Some players don't like wearing Kevlar neck guards because they're uncomfortable, but they're reportedly selling out now at stores in the area that sell hockey equipment. Are you an information security analyst? If so, congratulations are in order. You have the best job in America, at least according to U.S. News and World Report, which says you are very much in demand.
The threat of a cyber attack haunts companies around the world. Brian Rozak works for the security firm Optiv and helps businesses shield their networks from hackers.
And what are you protecting against?
I'm protecting against two things. People making mistakes because technology is complicated, and attackers who want to do harm and steal information.
Rozak is an information security analyst, and his job is number one on U.S. News and World Report's list of best jobs for 2022.
That's correspondent Naomi Rukum coming in second, nurse practitioner, followed by physician assistant. Well, Dionne Warwick probably won't like this. To celebrate the 110th anniversary of the Oreo, Nabisco is releasing yet another variation on the original, the chocolate confetti cake Oreo, which features rainbow sprinkles in the filling, which in this case is vanilla and chocolate. The 81-year-old Ms. Warwick recently tweeted this at Nabisco, quote, "Why are you all doing the most? The one flavor was fine." Oreo responded by sending her a care package of Oreo-branded merch, a move she felt was a bit aggressive, causing her to tweet this quote, "After asking Oreo to stick to the original flavor, they sent me these outrageous items as a response." She included a photo of Oreo-flavored lip balm and a package of Java chip Oreo cookies. She concluded with, "I will be retaliating at a later date."
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.